Are you ready for a couple more? Anyway, so the hall stand at Irani's house, with a narrow mirror centered in the mahogany. Too high to see my face in. Lovely to watch Granda catch himself placing his newly brushed hat at the exact angle on his head. "Are you right?" he says to me. "Yes, Granda." "Are you right there, Michael? Are you right?" he sang. "I'm off now, Mammy," he calls to Granny. "Anything you need?" And he winked at me. "No thanks, Val," came Granny's voice from the depths of the kitchen. "I have to go out for a few messages myself today." "Do you think that we'll be home before it's night?" he sang, opening the coloured glass hall door, stepping out onto the orange and grey tiled arched porch. "It's all dependent weather." He waves at me walking down the path. "The owl engine sticks together." And I wave back as he gets into his Ford Prefect. "Are you right there, Michael? Are you right?" And he backed out the double-gated drive on to Collins Avenue. I ran down the front garden to close both gates because Granda loved that. Everything orderly. "The gates shut keeps the draft out," he always said, in his deadly serious tone that only we knew how much he was enjoying himself. "Is he gone then?" Granny said as I closed the front door. She was the mistress of chronicling the moment. "Yes, Granny," I said, looking at her flecked tweed coat with the dropped patch pockets hanging on the hall stand. A shapeless, everyday light winter coat for walking to the butchers in Merino or the fishmongers in Fairview. Her leather gloves and worsted wool scarf were in the small drawer in front. Her small black hat with hat pin balanced on the lower hook, as she was a tiny woman. "Did you go out without your coat and hat, chicken?" she inquired, knowing the answer. "Oh, I just shut the gate for Granda," I ventured, knowing what's next. "You'll get pneumonia, child. Cover your chest." I never knew anyone in person who got pneumonia during my childhood, although it was a tremendous fear. A part of the language, a part of recent history, pneumonia and TB. It was only when my own mother died and I returned to Dublin, I myself got pneumonia, walking pneumonia, working in a Christmas show in damp costumes. Wait a minute. Granny couldn't have been that tiny. Because years and years later, when Granny was dead, her black wool coat that she kept in the wardrobe upstairs, her Sunday pure wool coat with the waist and the flared skirt and the silver circular brooch of a horse on the huge curved collar. I wore that beautiful going to mass coat on cold New York winter nights and it was a perfect fit. Where is that coat? My youngest sister Rachel took over my New York apartment 20 years ago and took to wearing two of Granny's coats that I'd left behind. No winter coats in California. And a fitted brown 1940s suit with a hobble skirt, as Granda used to call it. He used to call those straight, tight, below-the-knees skirts that emphasised a precise, neat, cross-legged walk, or else one hobbled and shuffled, unable to break out of the restricting tightness. I had found the suit in a boyfriend's mother's attic in New Jersey, and she delightedly passed it on to me. Granda, in his late 80s, arrived in New York to the fifth-floor walk-up on 43rd Street, and on Sundays during his stay, allowed me to accompany him to Mass in a brown hobble skirt and Granny's black wool coat. Last week, looking for a winter coat in a military shop near Canal Street in New York, I longed for Granny's pure wool coat. Looking through rows of antique coats, dramatic and sensible, austere and flamboyant, nothing would satisfy the classiness of the cut, the texture, the weight of the wool I wanted to recreate. The fact that a not-so-tiny woman who disdained frivolous fashion possessed such a coat, and I got to wear it as the family heirloom, and now its whereabouts unknown, has to contain all the satisfaction. Are you right there, Michael? Are you right?